This is Refuge Cafe, written by Andy Jones, narrated by the author. We'd had a fight. It had been boiling all week and it was over nothing. Always over nothing. We were at Holland Court, the wedding of Mary's cousin. The venue was dark, dingy, but her cousin and husband-to-be fell in love with the place, so there we were. I was upstairs in our room, stuffing my things back into my case, shirt untucked on one side. I'd only had a few drinks, but it felt like a few more. The disco was going on in the ballroom downstairs. I was passively aggressively criticising everything there that day. The bridesmaids' dresses, the mumbling registrar, the cold starter that tasted of cardboard. So eventually Mary just said, "Jason, why don't you just leave?" I thought about it for a minute after she walked away up to the bar. "Yes," I thought. "Why don't I just leave? That'll show her." Oh, the rain was getting heavy. I had a 2-hour drive to get back to the flat. But then I just wanted to get out of that place. I'd be long gone before Mary even noticed. I wiped the rain from my face. Before driving off, I headed out of the guest parking area. The dull old path lamps with a reddish hue, just about bright enough to guide me through the dark to the end of the drive along the gravel. Just a single-lane country road out front. I'd be back on the motorway in a few minutes. Then it was a simple ride home. Mary would get a lift from her parents in the morning. Or her brother. I didn't know exactly how to get onto the main roads from there. Mary had guided me in, squinting at the little map printed on the back of the cheap wedding invitations. The ink smudged a little on the inexpensive, crinkled, stiff paper. We had crawled along the narrow country lanes on the way there that morning. I'd have to take it easy heading out into the darkness. After nearly 20 minutes of driving, I still hadn't found the main road to take me onto the motorway. I should have turned left out of Holland Court, gone back the way I came in. Instead, I made a right. I still couldn't work the sat-nav properly on this crappy old Vauxhall Mary's brother sold me 6 months back. I sped past an old barn, one eye on the road, one eye trying to get the sat-nav on. Oh, what barn was it? First, the tapping was dull. Then it focused. The rain still lashing on the window. I opened my eyes. It was pitch black at first, but things were appearing in front of me in the darkness. The dashboard of the car. Then I remembered what had happened. The extreme bend came out of nowhere. Just a hedgerow right in front of me. I tried to turn, but I was going too fast. I think I blacked out for a moment. I moved my hands. Arms. Legs. I was sore. Head stinging. I looked as white as a sheet in the cracked rearview mirror. A cut above my right eyebrow. It pulled blood near my eye, but had stopped. The cut wasn't deep. The front of the car was ripped to one side. I could see through the front window. Parts of the engine exposed, twisted and pulled apart like soft dough. Crushed panels, a write-off. Luckily, I was in better shape. Or at least, it felt like I was. I checked my phone. No signal. Too far out in the middle of nowhere. A hard shove! I managed to get the driver's door open. The merciless rain poured in. Could I move? Yeah, I could. Could I get out? Yes! It didn't hurt to stand. I tried a few paces. It didn't hurt to walk either. But I was soaked through. On the road, back where I came from. Bright light. Yeah, headlights. Something big, like an articulated lorry. They were facing this way, which means the driver would see me. They'd have to stop, wouldn't they? But after a minute out there in the pouring rain, the lights remained motionless. Like the lorry had stopped. I didn't get it. I started walking towards them, hoping the driver had just pulled up for a moment. I mean, maybe they'd seen what had happened to me and stopped to call the police. As I got closer, I could see it now. I think two sets of lights, well, one pair, bright from the lorry or whatever it was further up the road. But then more, like a fainter orange glow from the side of the road. I kept walking. The road curved slightly. I left my crushed car in the blackness. As I walked along, I saw where the duller lights were coming from. The old barn. I thought it was dark, just like some old shack when I sped past it, but obviously I was wrong. I got closer and felt some relief. It wasn't an old barn I'd driven past at all. It was a little shop or something. The sign above the door said, what was that? Refuge Cafe. An open sign up against the front door, clanging in the rain. Parking to the side for maybe 5 or 6 cars. It's just a little roadside cafe. The lights from the lorry were still just a little further up the road. I stopped and looked at the light, squinting. Still couldn't make out the lorry that must have been behind them. They were really bright, full beam. Who the hell parks a big rig lorry on a full country road and puts their headlights on full? For some reason, it made me afraid. I pushed against the door of the cafe, and thank God it opened. I stumbled inside. Oh, my clothes dripping, soaked to my skin. It was warm inside. The orange light from old compact fluorescent light bulbs hanging bare from the ceiling. The kind you can't get anymore. It felt good to be indoors, out of the rain. Away from that lorry. The full beam headlights. A few tables and chairs, and a more comfortable couch at the far end, with a roaring fire. Manna from heaven. I headed to the couch and sat down. It felt perfect. I could start to feel my fingers again. Bad night. The voice made me jump. Sitting by the counter looking down. An old man, pasty skin, white hair receding, horn-rimmed glasses reflecting back the flickering light of the fire. I hadn't even seen him when I walked in. He was reading a newspaper on the counter, hadn't even looked up at me as he spoke. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to just barge in.
We're open. That's what the sign says.
He still didn't look at me. Kept reading his paper. Thank you. Yes, it's, a bad night out there. He looked up at me now.
No. I was asking if you'd had a bad night. I hadn't thought about the fact he must have seen me as I first come in. Torn jacket, blood running over side of my face.
Yeah, I've been in an accident. The bend just down the,
Yes, that's a dangerous spot if you go too fast. Be in a few accidents. You haven't been the first.
Right. Have you got a phone? My mobile's got no signal. He looked back down to his paper. A lazy gesture with a thumb to the far wall of the cafe.
It's there. Often doesn't work when the rain's this bad, though.
I got up, conscious of the damp mark my soaked clothes had left on the couch. Put a few 20 pence pieces into the slot on the top of the old blue phone. Who could I call? Mary. I'd have to. I have to admit, I was half happy when it didn't work. I wasn't ready to speak to Mary. Not yet. I wandered over to the other side of the cafe and looked out of the window. Yeah, it's not working. The weather. It'll work when it clears up again. Saw the bright lights from that lorry still outside. Who is that out there? I asked.
Maybe you could get a lift.
The idea was still unsettling somehow.
You mind if I just wait here a bit? Get warm again? Yeah, till the rain eases off at least.
The old man looked up at me and smiled for the first time. A tooth on the left side near the front was missing.
You be my guest.
Can I have a coffee?
You're in luck, son. I just made a fresh pot.
He served it up in a clean but cracked white mug. Felt solid in my hand. Warm.
Oh, thanks. What do I owe you?
On the house. Clearly you've had a difficult evening.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind. I headed back to the couch. The warmth running up through my legs and into my chest. Coffee didn't really taste of anything, but the heat down my neck was more than welcome.
Do you get much business here?
I didn't notice you when I drove past.
You'll be surprised how busy I am. Where have you come from to bring you so far out here?
Olin Court, do you know it?
Yes, I know it.
Funny time to be leaving.
Were the post-wedding celebrations too much for you?
What? How did you know I was at a wedding?
Oh, well, it's Holland Court. For at least 50 years, it's been used for business conferences or weddings. Anyone coming from there at 11:30 on a Saturday night wasn't there for a business conference. Who tied the knot? Not you, I hope.
Oh, no. My girlfriend's cousin.
And you left your girlfriend there?
Yeah, well, we had a fight, and I left.
Weddings can be emotional times.
I guess so. You've been working here long?
I've been doing this job forever.
Right. I bet you meet all types.
Yes.
Yes, I do. Every kind of person.
I hope the fire isn't too warm for you.
Oh, no. It's perfect. Thank you.
Oh, my clothes are drying real quick.
Tell you what, I'm really lucky you were open.
What was it all about?
What?
Your argument. What was it all about?
It was just silly. I don't know how it started, tell you the truth. I was irritable from first thing in the morning. You know, I hate weddings. And then my girlfriend's mother, she keeps winding me up.
Yes? What did she say?
Oh, it was just that she kept, saying to us, oh, you'll be next. Asking me when you're going to make an honest woman of my daughter. Yeah, all that stuff,
A commitment you're not ready to make.
No. No, it's not. I mean, we've hardly been together for, like, you know, I mean...
How long?
Well, 7 years, I guess. Yeah, 7 years last month. But I don't think we're ready. I mean, it's a big commitment, isn't it? And I know so many people who get married and after a couple of years, like, the spark dies out. Half my friends, they're miserable. One of them, he's been with the same girl, Beth, for, what, 3 years? They got married last spring. I saw him the other day. He's just unhappy. Already talking about getting a lawyer involved. I mean, what's the point? Half of marriages end in divorce, don't they?
So I hear. But is marriage something your girlfriend wants?
What? No. Well, I mean, we haven't really, you know. It only comes up when her mother says something. She's never said... I don't know. I mean, we're happy.
I sounded like I was trying to convince him. Or convince myself.
But no, I didn't need to. It was the truth and I knew it.
We are happy. Was she who you were trying to call?
Yes. I suddenly had this urge to speak to her. To hear her voice. Apologise for being such a pillock, for being selfish and mean. I was ashamed. I needed to make amends.
Can I try her again?
What will you tell her? Well, you know that I'm fine, but the car isn't.
And that I'm sorry.
And that I love her. Oh, is that stupid? She gonna laugh at me, do you think? Maybe I shouldn't, should I do it?
It's a public phone. I can't tell you what to do.
No, I had to call her. I just had to. Put in the money and try again. No.
Still not working?
Yeah, what's wrong with it?
I told you, it's the weather.
I just want to...
Hear her voice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all. He looked right at me and smiled again. Don't worry. Mary knows you love her. You don't need to tell her now.
I froze. I looked right at him. And slowly backed away into the corner. I could feel my heart pound.
I didn't tell you her name.
What?
I didn't tell you my girlfriend was called Mary.
Well, how else could I have known?
Who are you?
Really?
Something wasn't right. This place wasn't right. And he wasn't right. I was still holding the coffee mug in my hand. A second ago it was half full, but it was empty now. I dropped it out of shock. And the fire. The fire was out. I mean, it wasn't just out. It looked like it hadn't been on at all.
What's going on? What have you done to me?
I haven't done anything, Jason.
I didn't tell you my name. Get back. Get away from me.
I'm not going to hurt you. I couldn't do that even if I wanted to.
I'm not here to make you upset, Jason.
I'm here to put you at peace.
I wanted to make a bolt for it. Run for the front door, pull it open and get back out into the rain. Back out there, get to the lorry driver parked up and get help. Just get away.
You've had a very tough night, Jason. And I'm truly sorry. But you can't stay here. And you can't go back. There's only one way to go.
I noticed my clothes weren't wet anymore. The damp mark on the couch was gone. The rain had stopped. The phone was gone. It just... Oh no. Oh no. It just wasn't there anymore. I pressed into the corner of the room. I wanted to disappear. I looked down at the blue and white lino flooring. Pristine.
was almost too clean, like no one had ever walked on it before. I could see it now. The whole place was wrong somehow. I didn't want to look back up. I was too scared to look up at the old man behind the counter. Oh, God.
Don't be afraid, Jason. Look up.
Oh, my God. It's like he can read my...
No one is going to hurt you. No one will ever hurt you ever again. You have my word.
I looked up at him. He was staring directly at me now. Those piercing, thin, dark eyes, no longer softened by the reflection of the fire, edged along the wall, trying to get closer to the door. Look, just leave me alone, all right? Whatever this is, just leave me alone.
Jason, I promise, I'll stay right here. You're free to leave. Listen, the rain has stopped. That means it's time to go. Just know that there's no reason to be afraid. Not anymore.
I was within a few feet of the door now. Oh, but what if it was a trick? What if he'd leap out at me as I went for the door? I'd never been more terrified. I was sweating and I felt like my heart was going to burst out of my chest. There was something truly awful about this man, about this place. It made me think of... I went for it. I yanked open the door with all my strength, and I ran out and kept running and kept running and I kept running as the door crashed behind me. I just ran and ran. I glanced back. The orange lights from the refuge cafe getting duller now as I left it behind, looking all the dimmer as I got closer to...
the lights... from the lorry. Really bright now. Closer. I stopped. Still couldn't make out the vehicle behind the beam. I had been afraid of this lorry and these lights. But to get away from the cafe, I didn't realise I was running straight towards them. I squinted at the light, trying to make out anything past them.
Hello? Is anyone there?
Nothing. Literally nothing. I noticed there was no wind anymore. It wasn't cold. It wasn't anything. The cracked tarmac underfoot, lit up by the lorry's full beam, wasn't even wet despite the absolute downpour of the last few hours. I looked back to the refuge cafe, but all I saw was an old, abandoned barn. The one I sped past before I crashed the car. There was no cafe there. There had never been a cafe there. I turned to the lights. I didn't squint this time. I didn't need to. I didn't try and look for the large articulated lorry behind the light, because I now knew it wasn't there. I thought about the things the old man behind the counter had said to me. You'll be surprised how busy I am. No one is going to hurt you. No one will ever hurt you ever again. I'm not here to make you upset, Jason. I'm here to put you at peace. And just before I ran out, it's time to go. Just know that there's no reason to be afraid. Not anymore. And I wasn't afraid. I knew who he was. And I was calm. I put one foot in front of the other. And slowly, carefully, deliberately, I walked towards the light.
Refuge Cafe was written and narrated by Andy Jones. This has been a Gold Pictures production.